Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
Hi. Hey, my name's Jason, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really excited to be here with you tonight to open up God's Word with you. And I think God has great things that He wants to say to us, important things that He wants to say to us tonight. So welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm, like I said, one of the pastors here. Our lead pastor is a guy named Tim Osborne, and Tim's been on a sabbatical for about the last 6 weeks, and he's got another 6 weeks or so to go. A sabbatical, if you don't know what that is, it's an extended time of rest, and it's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to a person who's in full-time Christian ministry. Sabbatical is a break from the routine of leading in a church, and it's a break that gives you a chance, that refuels your batteries, recharges you, so that you can serve God for the long haul. And Tim's enjoying that sabbatical right now. We actually have some photos from Tim's sabbatical habitat that I wanted to share with you. If you're new to Mosaic, Tim is the guy on the bottom, and those other humans are his boys. So there's Tim on sabbatical. Here's another picture of Tim on sabbatical with his boys. If you were wondering if you eat food while you're on sabbatical, yes, the answer is yes. I just want you to notice the foot. Did you get it? Like, he looks pretty buff, but, you know, I think he's probably got his leg, you know, helping him out there a little bit. Getting some exercise. I asked his wife, Abby, to take some candid shots that really captured the essence of sabbatical, and this is what she came up with. So there he is. And there's one more, I think. Yep, there's Tim and Abby there. At the coast. So we are as a community blessing our lead pastor, and he's getting the rest he needs. One of the things that he really wanted to focus on was walking with Jesus outside of this job. And if you've ever served in ministry and it's been a vocation, sometimes your job as a pastor and your walk with Jesus get all kind of tangled up, and you don't know where one stops and where the other one starts. And Tim's just getting to enjoy walking with Jesus right now without the stress of being a pastor. So we're excited. He's doing really well. In fact, I think I'm going to see him tonight. I haven't seen him for 6 weeks, so I will report back if there's anything to be concerned about. All right? That sound good? Hey, we're in a series of talks on Sundays. It's called In All These Things. And what the series of talks is about Jesus' vision for your life. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a disciple of Jesus, he has a vision for your life. And his vision is that he would be the Lord of everything. His vision is that he would be the master of every nook and cranny of your life. And what happens when Jesus comes into your life, when you trust him and you begin to follow him, is stuff in your life starts to change. He starts to transform it. And he takes the things in our lives, things like our time and our speech and our money and the way we treat the environment and the way we suffer, and he takes those things and he actually redeems those things. Redeems is a fancy word. It means that he brings those things into peace and harmony with himself. And so Jesus is bringing all these different aspects of our lives into peace and harmony with himself. And the area that we're going to discuss tonight and talk about tonight that he's bringing into harmony with himself is our speech, the words that we say. We can be talking about the words that we say in a conversation, the things that we post on social media, the things that we write in a text message, our communication. Jesus wants that. He wants our words. And it's interesting what Jesus says about this, what he says about our words. He actually says that our words are a reflection of our hearts. The things that we say, the things that we text, the things that we type, those things are a reflection of what's on the inside. They're actually they reveal our true colors. Our words reveal our true colors. Listen to how Jesus puts this. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The whole verse is on the screen there. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The things you say, the things you type, the things that you text are a reflection of your heart. So as much as Jesus cares about what we say, what he really wants to get after is our hearts. So tonight we're going to look at a passage that addresses the words that we use by speaking primarily to our hearts. The first thing that we're going to see is that the words that we use are incredibly powerful. The words that we use are powerful. And then the second thing we'll see is that we can't actually tame our tongues. We can't actually, by willpower and sheer determination, master our speech. And then the last thing we're going to see is that Jesus, when he transforms our hearts, it actually begins to transform our speech. Our speech becomes more pure. It becomes more consistent. So the text we're going to be looking at is James chapter 3. If you have a Bible, James is way in the back. If you don't have a Bible, we have some Bibles on either side of the room tonight. You're welcome to grab one of those at any point during the gathering. Grab a Bible. If you grab one of the Bibles on the sides, it's page 848. So feel free to grab one of those. If you want to download a Bible onto your smartphone, you can do that right now. But it's also on the screen behind me, so you can read along there as well. James chapter 3, starting with verse 2. James says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. The tongue, according to James, is tiny. It's a really small part of your body, and yet it's powerful. It can be used to either build or to destroy. The tongue, James says, makes great boasts. In other words, if you could interview your tongue, and your tongue was going to speak for itself, the tongue could actually brag about how powerful it is. It would be right to do so. Your tongue is that influential. It actually steers the course of your life. Your tongue has the power to make you or break you. Ladies, I want you to imagine a scenario here for a second. Imagine if everything that you said to the man in your life made perfect sense to him. Or imagine that if every time you opened your mouth, you could be totally honest yet totally kind. If you could pull that off, you'd have it made. Your life would be set. You'd be perfect. You'd have complete control over your whole life. James says that total control of the tongue equals total control of the rest of your life. That's how powerful your tongue is. It steers your life. And if you could master your words in this way, you'd be able to master every other part of your life. But that's not the reality, as we all know. We all say dumb things. We post dumb things. We text dumb things. And those dumb things that we kind of let out of our mouths actually reveal our true colors. They reflect our hearts. Verse 6 actually paints a much more realistic picture of the power of the tongue. It breaks you. Your words have the power to wreck your life and burn it to the ground. And if you think that James is exaggerating here, if you think it's like, man, you're just being a little bit dramatic, buddy, when you write this stuff, I want you to think about the last time that you gossiped. Think about the last time that you gossiped. Gossip is when you spread information or rumors about somebody else that you have no business spreading. So think about the last time you did that. You can gossip with your mouth. You can gossip with your keyboard. There's all sorts of different ways to gossip. What happened when you gossiped? Well, you certainly hurt somebody else. That's a given. But it also hurts you. You see, gossip is a crummy way to deal with your own insecurities. At first, it feels really good to gossip because you might be feeling kind of bad about yourself, and then you start talking about somebody else, and it's like, oh, that I don't feel that pain anymore. It actually feels really good to slander somebody else, to talk about somebody else's life and how messed up it is. It actually feels pretty good. It numbs the pain. But what happens invariably when you gossip is it comes back around to you, doesn't it? And then when it comes back around to you, what happens? Your insecurities reemerge. And when your insecurities reemerge, what happens? You feel defensive and you need to gossip some more. And we can see that one tiny spark of gossip actually can ruin your life simply just by keeping you in this cycle of speaking out of your insecurities. Your insecurities that are in your heart dictate what comes out of your mouth, and what comes out of your mouth dictates the course of your life. That's how our words can break us. That's how our tongue is like a spark that can start a fire. Your tongue has a disproportional amount of power for how small it is. It's sort of like a bit in the mouth of a horse. One small piece of steel can steer an animal that weighs more than 1,000 pounds. It's like a rudder on a boat. It's relatively small, but it controls which way the thing goes. This last week, I was reminded of the power of the tongue. I was reminded of the power of my own words. I was talking with a group of people who are part of Mosaic, and we were actually discussing this talk. And I made a comment about this talk as I was preparing. It was Wednesday night. I said, well, at least I have a really easy topic to prepare. And later that night, one of the people that I was talking to, she sent me an email. And she said, you know, I hope that's not a reflection of the kind of work you're going to do in preparing for this talk. I hope that that's not like your past to kind of slack off a little bit and not put yourself into this thing. And she was absolutely right. She was absolutely right to call me out. My words, the impact of my words, my careless, poor choice of words, shaped that conversation. It shaped how she felt. It shaped what she was thinking and what our conversation looked like. God always has this way of working the stuff out in my own life that I'm going to preach about. It's a crazy thing. Another example of the power of the tongue. A friend of mine whose job isn't going well right now. It's not going the way that he dreamed it would go. He was actually praying with another person. And as they were praying together, in their time together, the person who was praying with my friend looked at him and said, hey, I think I have something from God that I need to tell you. I think God wants you to keep doing what you're doing. And my friend told me about this experience he had, and he said, man, I have been holding on to those words ever since he said that. A few small words that completely steer and give my friend this sense of hope and this sense of perseverance to stick with it, even though the job's not going well. Many of us, if not most of us, we know about the power of the tongue. And the reason that we know about the power of the tongue is because we've been on the receiving end of some pretty destructive words. growing up, maybe you grew up in a home where your dad just belittled you. You were berated. Your dad looked at you and he called you a dummy. I have a friend whose dad called him a big dummy all the time. Didn't even call him by his real name half the time. He said, "You're just a big dummy. Why'd you do that, you big dummy?" My friends struggled with that. It was something that he couldn't shake, that image that he didn't quite measure up in his dad's eyes, that he was somehow flawed, that he wasn't smart. Or maybe it was what your dad didn't say to you. Maybe your dad never spoke words of love and pride and affirmation to you. And you just longed to hear some words from your dad that he would say something like, "Hey, you belong, you're mine, I'm proud, I love you." But you never heard it. This is how powerful our tongue is. The words that we have can do a lot of good, and they can do a lot of damage. They do damage to the person talking and to the person on the receiving end. Our tongues can make us or break us. The words we say can give life to somebody else or kill somebody else. That's the power of the tongue. This is serious stuff. And I think our first inclination when we hear this is to go, "Well, I got to fix my speech, right? I got to do something. I got to be more disciplined in my speech. I got to train myself to talk better. Maybe I can tame my tongue the way that you train your dog or something, you know?" Listen to what James says about that. Verse 7. He says, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being trained and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue." Can't do it. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. I don't know if you've ever had the magical experience of training a dog. This just joyous, fulfilling experience of trying to get an animal that lives in your house to go to the bathroom outside, you know? It's trying, you know? It's not exactly the happiest thing, you know, at least that I've experienced. But if you've ever been through that, and you can train a dog, you can actually train a dog to go do business outside, and you can train a dog to sleep in a certain place and come when you tell him to come. And it's kind of cool when a dog starts to obey. And if you're really ambitious, you can train a dog to shake paws or shake hands, I guess. And you can do these sorts of things. And pretty soon, with enough time and with enough perseverance and discipline, you can actually tame an animal. James says that doesn't work with your tongue. It won't work. You can't carry around a little bag of bacon treats, you know, and like pop one in your mouth every time you say something nice. And then like that's going to change it and make you a nicer person. That's not how it works. And the reason it doesn't work that way is because our tongues are full of poison. Where does that poison come from? Well, remember what Jesus said. It comes from our hearts. Inside of us, there are sins that are down there so deep and they're so dark, and we half the time aren't even aware of them. And then when we do become aware of them, we actually think we can mask them. We think we can cover them up so that nobody else will see them. We think we can hide our anger. We think we can hide our fear, our insecurities, our need to control, our pride. But guess what? Those things get revealed when we open our mouths. Those things are reflected when we text and when we post. Our hearts are revealed by our speech. And so if we simply try to train our tongues and tame our language the way that we would tame a wild animal, it's not going to work because it doesn't get to the source of the poison. It doesn't get to our hearts. The things that you say and text and the things that I say and text and type, they reveal our true colors. And if we're going to have any chance of having redeemed speech, we actually need Jesus to change our hearts. Instead of trying to fix our words, we need to let Jesus change our hearts. That's how this thing works. A redeemed heart results in speech that consistently pleases God and consistently builds other people up. Look at what James says in the last few verses for our scripture tonight. James chapter 3, look at verse 9. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? In Portland, we might say, can an apple tree bear hops? You know, we might say that. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. It's possible for a person to come to church, to sing songs about how great God is, to say appropriate things to his or her children in front of other people. I mean, most of us, we can keep our tongues tamed for about an hour and 15 minutes, right, on a Sunday. We can do that pretty well. Maybe an hour and a half. You're really a disciplined person, you know, you can. But then to go home and open up our computer and to send a nasty email, to shame our kids, to talk trash about a neighbor or a coworker. Some of you are thinking, yeah, that's me every Sunday. I come in and I talk about God and how awesome he is, and I hold it together and I say nice things to people, but then I go home and it ain't pretty. This hypocrisy of praising God out of one side of our mouths and then cursing people out of the other, that's alive in every single one of us. There's not one of us in the room who follows Jesus who can say, yeah, you know, I'm immune to that. We can sit and have coffee with a friend and we can tell him how God met a need in our life, and then in the next breath, we can ridicule a politician we don't like. And what's sad is when that sort of thing doesn't even bother us. That's what's sad. I'm pretty sure that sort of thing bothers, the Holy Spirit actually wants that sort of thing to bother us. He wants us to see that the total hypocrisy of singing songs about how much we love Jesus and then turning around and slandering a person because they're gay or because they're an addict or because they're rich or because they're beautiful or because they're arrogant or because they're something you don't like. He wants us to see the utter hypocrisy of that and to feel convicted about that. He wants us to feel sorrow for saying that God is great and then turning around and saying things to make ourselves look great. How can anybody, James asks the question, how can anybody possibly be okay with talking like this? Fresh water and salt water don't come out of the same spring simultaneously. Apple trees don't bear figs. That's what verse 10 is getting at. It says, this should not be. A more precise translation of these words is it doesn't have to be this way, guys. It doesn't have to be this way. We don't have to have this hypocritical talk. You don't have to be comfortable when you say hypocritical things. You actually need to feel dirty when you gossip or when you manipulate or when you talk trash or when you speak passively or passive aggressively. Because that's actually the Holy Spirit saying to you, you know what? Those words are not okay. Those words are not being driven by Jesus. They're coming from a heart that's got some pretty deep and disgusting sin. Poison. Our hearts change as Jesus convicts us. One of the ways that God changes our hearts so that our speech will change is by convicting us, by pointing out our hypocrisies. And when God convicts us, when the Spirit shows us our inconsistencies, guess what? God's still there. He still loves you. He still accepts you. But he's like, hey, I just need you to see this. He holds up a mirror to us and to our hearts so that we'll see the poison that's made our speech all jacked up. And what happens is when he convicts us and we receive his love and we receive his forgiveness, is he actually begins to change the way that we want to talk. He begins to change the way that we want to talk. And there's a couple of ways that he does that. First, he'll give us this desire to say things that delight God. We're going to want to say things that please God. Psalm 19:14, David, one of Israel's greatest kings, he cries out to God and he says, may the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. That's going to be what we want too when Jesus sets up shop in our lives and takes control. We're going to want God to read our text messages and smile. We're going to want God to hear our jokes and laugh. We're going to want God to be pleased with the things that we say because they're beautiful things that we say to people, life-giving things that we say to people, because God is a beautiful God who gives life. That's the desire of our hearts as we follow Jesus and as he changes us. And the second thing that changes is that our words actually increasingly build up other people. Our words will actually begin to build up other people. Ephesians 4:29 has some great advice, some really practical advice on this. The verse says to say things that help people. Say things that help people according to their needs. A lot of times when we talk to people, it's all about our needs. A lot of the stuff that we say in conversations, whether we're aware of it or not, often stems from our hearts that have some needs. So we'll say something maybe kind of clever to make ourselves look clever, right? That's about our needs. That's about my need. If I tell a joke because I want you to think I'm funny, that's about me. That's not about you. Some of us get into conversations and we pass along information that is absolutely worthless to the person that we're talking to. But we're saying it because we want to sound smart. We want to sound important. What if when Jesus comes into our lives, he turns our hearts around so that instead of trying to get something out of a conversation, we actually want to love and serve people with the words that we say according to their needs? What if tonight, when you're on your way home from church and you're going to pick up your brats and your burgers for your barbecue tomorrow. We're going to be celebrating Memorial Day tomorrow. We're going to be remembering people who gave their lives for this country. And a lot of us tomorrow, we get the day off. We're going to take some time to remember that tomorrow and eat together and have fun with friends and family and neighbors. What if tonight when you're on your way home and you stop by the grocery store, what if when you're walking through the line, and that clerk who's working, and nobody really appreciates him or her, what if you say, you know what? I'm just going to love this person. I'm going to look him in the eye, and I'm going to say thank you. Thanks for working on a holiday weekend so that I can have a party tomorrow. What about somebody that you haven't seen at Mosaic for a while? What about somebody that hasn't been at your life group for a while? Drew talked about life groups earlier. What if you choose to serve that person that you haven't seen around with a text message, with some words? That's about meeting their need. See, that's how our hearts start to change. And what happens is our speech, when Jesus comes in and he convicts us and he shows us our sin and our darkness and he actually forgives us and loves us and our desires begin to change. We actually begin to be more consistent in our speech. Less of this hypocrisy, more consistency, more purity, more of the time. Not all the time. We're not going to be perfect. But we're going to begin to change. One of the evidences that Jesus has a hold of your heart is that your words are more and more becoming consistently pure. reflecting his goodness and his love. So much of what we're talking about and learning tonight is really about understanding the impact of our words. I have a friend who says, all of us are masters of what we intend to say, but very few of us are masters of what we actually say. All of us are masters of what we intend to say, but very few of us are masters of our impact. This is actually something that the Mosaic staff says to each other when we have conflict. We work together. We love working together. We're trying to be a family together and serve one another. And you know what? As we serve Mosaic and lead this church, sometimes we have conflict. And when we have conflict, one of the things that we practice saying to each other is, hey, I want you to know how what you said impacted me. I want you to hear from me. I want you to hear from me how that hit me. What do we so often say when somebody says that to us? We say, well, that's not what I intended to say, right? That's not what I meant. Well, I'm not talking about what you meant. I'm talking about the impact. I need you to hear it. I need you to own it. If you're not aware of the impact of what you're saying to somebody, you can ask that person. You can say, hey, how's this impacting you right now? How's this hitting you? How's what I'm saying hitting you? And listen, if it's somebody you trust and you ask that question and then let's say you're on the receiving end of that question and this is your friend you're talking to, don't blow it off. Don't be like, ah, it's no big deal. That's the easiest thing in the world to do, isn't it? When somebody says something and we honestly want to punch them in the face and then they say to us, hey, is that okay? Is what I said okay? And we're like, it's fine. That's not a real loving thing to do, is it? Because what happens is that person walks away unaware of their impact. Unaware of what they're saying. And see, if we follow Jesus together, we can actually help each other become aware of when our words are double talk, of when our words are hypocritical, of when our words are hurtful. That's one of the ways that we serve each other and love each other. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, this is good. I want Jesus to change my heart, and I want him to make my speech more pure and more consistent, less hypocritical. But if I'm hearing you correctly, Jason, do I actually get a chance to talk about my own problems? Is there ever a place where I get to say, you know, hey, things aren't okay right now and I have some needs too. Is that okay? Of course it is. Of course it is. At the right time, with the right person, in the right place. If you have stuff, and we all have stuff, that you need to talk with somebody else about, you need a friend to listen and maybe give you some counsel, some advice, pray with you. Do that with somebody you trust. Do that with somebody that walks with Jesus. And don't just, you know, I think some of us, I'm a verbal processor and some of you are verbal processors. And sometimes when we're verbal processors, we just kind of think we can just kind of talk about our problems with anybody who will listen, you know, kind of a deal. And you know, that's kind of like, that's a little bit like vomiting all over the place. I don't know if you know that or not, but it's sort of like when you barf and you're just barfing out of control and you barf on the person and you barf here. It's not good for you to do that. It's not really good for the people that you're barfing on. But God gives us the gift of community. He gives us one another to go to. And one of the most healthy ways that you can share your own needs with somebody else is by saying, hey, can we get together? Can we grab a cup of coffee? I have some things I need to talk about. I trust you. Would you listen? Would you be there for me? Would you pray with me? Actually give that person some heads up to know that the conversation's coming. That's just a way that we can be family. It's a way that we can honor each other. You see, where Jesus has taken over, love always leads the conversation. Love always leads the conversation. Our speech gets more pure, more consistently. And that's what Jesus wants to do with our words. and he starts with our hearts. So we're going to continue to worship him tonight by singing some songs and by coming to this table. And when we come to this table tonight, here's what we're saying. We're taking a piece of bread. It represents Christ's body, and we're dipping it in the juice, and that represents Christ's blood. And when we do that, we're admitting to Jesus. We're saying, hey, Jesus, I have this problem. I can't tame my tongue. I speak out of both sides of my mouth. Sometimes I talk and I praise you and I make much of you. And then sometimes I talk and I make much of myself. Sometimes I talk and it's all about how good you are and how great you are. And other times I text things and post things on social media that the second they leave my keyboard, they're kind of ugly. I need you to forgive me for that. I need you, Jesus, to forgive those sins that spill out in the words that I say. And not only do I need you to forgive you, I need you to actually convict me about this stuff. I need you to show me that this is not okay. I need you to show me that fresh water and salt water don't come out of the same spring, and in the same way, this hypocritical talk, it needs to stop. Would you convict me? Would you love me through this, God? And would that love actually change and shape and form my heart so that my speech looks different? That's what we're doing when we come to this table tonight. And so, Father, we thank you for your sacrifice, for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross, to take our sin upon himself, for the forgiveness that you offer. And Lord, we just confess to you tonight. We confess to you, Jesus, right now, that we've been hypocritical in the way we've talked. We've spoken passive aggressively. We've slandered people. We've gossiped. We've lied. And at the same time, God, we've worshiped you, and we've spoken of your love, and we've even sung about it tonight. Forgive us for our hypocrisy. Change our hearts. Give us that sense of conviction deep down inside of us that it doesn't have to be this way. Let your love reside in us so much that your love is what would come out of our mouths when we interact with the people around us. Will you transform us? We need you. We can't do this on our own. And it's by your power and in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray together tonight. Amen.